Last week here in Shari Tshuva, we concluded with the message that Rabbeinu Yonah conveyed regarding that the ayin and the lev are considered to be the two agents that lead to aveira. And based upon the pasuk, of course, lisa sura achrei levavchem v'achrei yenechem. And therefore, Rabbeinu Yonah pointed out in Shari Tshuva that in the Mahalach of Tshuva, one has to also direct particular Tshuva regarding the Lev and regarding the Einayim. And he pointed out that the Tshuva regarding the Lev is the Lev Nishbar V'Nitke, that a person basically fills himself with a sense of Charot and regret where he is so humbled by his actions, that what he has done, that he actually has a broken heart. That is the hargosha that he has. That is what he feels. As the lev nitshbor v'nitke l'kim lo yisivizeh, Kodesh Baruch Hu does not reject. Regarding the Enayim, he pointed out from a pasuk in Tehillim, what washes out the Enayim, that is the tears and that is the bechia that a person undergoes, that experience. And that purifies the eyes regarding the agency that the eyes were involved being lack of Shemiras Seinai. Interesting to point out, if we go back a little bit in history, with Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva talks about the importance of the inyan of the Shvir Salev. The Tshuva regarding the heart is to have a humbled heart, where a person actually feels he is broken, and he breaks himself and humbles himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kedai to point out that many years ago, in the mid-18th century, the 1700s, Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, in a drosha, in his Sefer Yaris Devash, Chelik Beis, there he talks about the inyan that took place in his tkufe. And his time, he realized its time was a tremendous dordea. In the 18th century, of course, you had all the various good holy soil. There was the tkufe that you had the Goyin, the Vilna Goyin, you had the Baal Shem Tov, you had the Shagasari, you had the Chidoh, all the greatest of all Gedolei Yisrael of all time, Rabbi Yonison, the Bianchi Vemdin, and so on. It just goes on and on and on, the Pnei Yeshua, the Shavus Yaakov. So Rabbi Yonison Eibshitz writes, regarding the competition that used to take place, he says, in no other place more than you'd find it in the shuls themselves. What was the competition? And he says as follows. You have to realize that the shul is not just a place where you come to daven, but he quotes the Mordechai, where the Mordechai tells us that our Beis HaKnesses, our shuls today, Yeshloi Kedushas Hechol Beis HaMikdosh. It basically is a miniature Beis HaMikdosh. That's what a Beis HaKnesses is. If so, says Rabbi Yonison Eibshitz, if our Bate Knesses is a place of Ashrois HaShchina, Im Kein Tzarech Lehimotzei Ba'anove Yisere, and therefore in a Beis Medrash, one should conduct himself with extreme humbleness, Koton the Godel Shom Shovim. In the Beis HaKnesses, a Godel and a Koton, they should all be equal. However, he says, and he bemoans the fact, and he says as follows. But when he says to Rabbim, he says, Loi Kein Adover. Iker HaGaive, he says, in the Beis HaKnesses. Baliyas HaTorah. You find all the various machlokes in regarding who gets which aliyah. Did I bichlal get an aliyah? I should have gotten an aliyah. Bitfilois, regarding the davening. Apparently it means davening for the Yomid or so. The Tkiyos, there was competition, and there was jealousy, and there was kina, and there was machlekes regarding who should be the Baal Tekeya. Be Esrik, my Esrik is more beautiful than your Esrik. Hakofis, who gets which Hakofis? And so on. Vishare Chalukis Kibudim, and all the other distributions of the various Kibudim, he says, in the Beis HaKnesses, Davke, that was the Mokim of the Ikar Hagave. Ad, what he says. It's a mind-boggling thing. The machlokes, he says, were so fierce and so strong, it got violent to the point they went to court to settle it. The machlokes of the kibudim within the Beis HaKnesses became so strong and so fierce that they had to settle it in court. It actually went to court. Now he says right away, lest you think, says Rabbi Yonison, that in my kilo was the same thing. He says, no, not in my kilo. He says, Baruch Hashem, he says, Shebekiloseinu, he says, which was in Metz, in Saipshitz before, he was Rav in Hamburg, in Altona, He was Rav in Metz. So he says, in our kehillah in Metz, kan lo nishma shtus koze. In our kehillah we don't hear that. Avalibi davoi al pirtzis Yisrael b'shar mekoymis. But my heart aches, he says, for this pirtzah that we find in other areas and other mekoymis. V'akosuv mazir. And the pasuk says, and now, this is of course the end of Parshas Yisrael, the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, it says, lo yisalo b'malo yisal mizbechi. Leisalo b'malos means don't try to climb too high. Leisalo b'malos amizbechi. Don't try to climb too high and claim this belongs to me, that kibbutz belongs to me, and so on. But b'yoser especially, he says, b'yoyim mechubed v'kodesh l'Hashem b'shabbos v'yontif. Shabbos v'yontif, which are the holiest of all days. Davki shoma shuruya hagai v'b'yoser. Davki in the most kedusha the g'day is like Shabbos v'yontif. Davki there, it's ironic that we find that the gaive is prevalent more than any other time. The doichim bazes ashchina. As a result, they actually push out the shchina. The noisnin mokim sitra achra lishkoin, and they allow the sitra achra, which are the evil forces, to come. Oilonu kichatonu. So he goes on to say, he says davke biyomim sheish b'mchefetz l'Hashem. He says davke in those days which are so important, a Shabbos and a Yontif, tia hagayve. Mishkan, he said, to the Nochash HaKadmoini, the Tzahar should be so successful on these holy days, and this becomes his mokim, this becomes his office, the headquarters of the Tzahara. That's Mamish Gevaldig HaTzlocha that he had, Davki in the Shul, Davki in the Beis HaKnesses, he says. And the cause of Tzaveach, and the Posse cries out, Lo Yiro Becho Ervas Dovor, Vishov Nachrecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if there's an Ervas Dovor, which Erva means, of course, uncleanliness, which basically means lack of tznius, that's a poshut pshat, v'shav machrecho, that causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to step aside, and it removes his protection from klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yehoshua Zalaibishi says, there's no greater erva, he says, than gaiva. There's no greater abomination, he says. Ve'eloch erva yosef mezeh. And as a result, v'shav machrecho, you are going to chase the shechin away, and you are removing the protection, the shmir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon you. U'mishabeach ani es beis haknesses Prague, and he says, and I have a lot of praise, I have words of praise for the shul in Prague. Rabbi Bjornson was originally, before it was Rav in Metz, he was the Rosh HaDarshonim and he was Rosh Yeshiva in Prague. And he has very nice words to say about Prague, even though he subsequently went away from Prague. But he says, I praise Prague. Shaloi yimker hagab alila Torah. In Prague, they don't sell the aliyah. So what do? They have a girdle. They cast lots. And that's how they do it. He says, Rak hoyolifi goydel. It's a very interesting piece of history, how they conducted themselves in the Beis HaKnesses Prague, which was one of the most distinguished kehillahs, you know, of all time in Europe. And he says, I have a lot of praise, he says, for the kehillah of Prague, where the Gabbai does not sell aliyahs, Rak hoyolifi goydel, for hoye choy kevua kach vekach yit noy lesoker. So how the shul, what about the hachnosa that the shul needed if they didn't sell it? So they had a choy kevua. Listen, you're going to get aliyah by goydel, but if you got the aliyah, you got to pay for it. So I say you can pay for the aliyah. But there was a chay kibur. There was a certain amount, a fixed amount that you would pay. So whoever got the aliyah, I'll be girl, so would have to pay that amount. So Lamai said they sure got the money. At least some of the money. And so he says, the heitev yasum yisaknu gam kan. But then he says, even in Metz, would not be a bad idea. Be a very good thing if it would be misakin that, even though he mentioned his own machloikis in Metz, but I guess it would have been even better, he says, to be able to misakin to have this girl. Umehem yilmedu b'chol hakilois. And Prague should be the model to teach other kilos as well, should learn from them. So it's a very fascinating thing. This is an adrosha. And Yad Vash realized we're going back quite a number, hundreds of years now, in the 1700s. And this was something that took place in going back in the time of such great people that you had. Nevertheless, people were always people. And the Yitzhar did not rest in any tekufa to do what he knows how to do best. So that's a very interesting thing. So basically, it's what the Shaar Tshuva taught us last week, that the way that the lave, the particular of the lave as being an agent, bringing a person to an avera, ayin roye v'lev choymei, that the idea is to have a lave nishbor. That's just the opposite of gaiva. The idea is the person should be koine with himself to acquire the midah of anova. Let me just say one more thing regarding the union of a lave nishbor. The idea of being modest, the idea of conducting oneself with humbleness, which is a very fascinating thing. And we would never have known this unless the Chidor comes along in his Sefer Shem HaGdolim. The Chidor, again, also lived basically in the 18th century, but he made it a little bit into the 19th. He was nifter in the beginning of the 1800s. Chidon. Of course, he was a legion from Eretz Yisrael, meaning that he traveled all over. Basically, he was a Shadar. Shadar was a Meshulach, raising money for Eretz Yisrael. It was Shadar's Rashatei V'Shluchei D'Rachmona. That's what Shadar means. And twice he made the trip, and he was quite successful at raising money, but he was an avid, as we say, person who just knowledge, he drank it, he used to swallow and eat literally manuscripts. That was his godless, and especially in Italy, in Livorno, that's where he settled for many, many years, because that was a place that had a major library, a lot of manuscripts of Rishonim and so on, which was not in print, and he sat there and he studied them, and he wrote many, many Sfarim while he was in Chutz Laretz. As a matter of fact, he died, he was Nifter in Livorno, and years later, here, I don't know if I want to say here, let's say it's, something like 20 years or so, Berech, his bones were taken up from Italy, and his kever has been brought here and reinterred here in Eretz Yisrael, and his kever is on the Har HaMenuchos. So you go around to the, not far from the Chelkis HaRabonim in that area, you'll see a very big, sort of like Matzeva, but actually they built a structure. And that's the Kever Chidod, was the big Levaya and so on and so forth. And basically the Sfarim were very much involved because the Chidod represented them, but everybody was involved because the Chidod represented, was accepted by all. So in any case, the Chidod writes in Sefer Shem HaGdoilim, says, I want you to know that what I'm going to tell you now, says the Chidod, I have it, he says, by good information, reliable information. I was Mekabel from an Odom Godel, Bechochma Beyira, who is Mekabel from a Rav Godel, was Mekabel from Zakenim, so this goes back, I guess, Ish Mipi Ish. To a certain point, he says, that we know that the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch was Rabbi Yosef Karo, and that's the Shulchan Aruch, of course, that we have to this day. Asher Mepiv Anu Chayim, that's the Shulchan Aruch for everybody, for Klal Yisrael. And the Bidoy Rosh Rabbi Yosef Karo, he says, in the generation of Rabbi Yosef Karo, which was in the 1500s, he says, there were three great Gedolei Yisrael, that also had the ability to write the Shulchan Aruch. There were three Gedolei Yisrael, Shehoyu Re'uyim Lechaber, a Sefer Ke'en Beis Yosef, similar to the Beis Yosef, which would bring together all the dinim and reveal the sources, Ali Bede Hilchese. Who are these three Gedolim? One was also, in addition to his godless Benigla, was also a great Godel Benister in Kabbalah, Rabbi Yosef Teitatzak, a well-known Baal Mekubal. Then there was the Ma'ari Barlev, Rabbi Yosef Barlev, and Rabbi Yosef Karo. However, says the Chidah, even though these three, each and every one, had the ability to be Mechaber, a Sefer, similar to the Beis Yosef, however, his Kimu min HaShemayim, that the Rishus and the Siyata Dishmaya should be given to Rabbi Yosef Karo. Why? Because above all, even though they all were great, all three of them were great, but who Hitztayin, Rabbi Yosef Karo had one little thing over them. He distinguished himself on the sunusoi hayisera Yosef Mashar. He extreme anova. He was extremely a humble person of Yosef Karo. Kashinira misfarav agdoishim raizichidoh. You can see from his holy sfarim that even though he disagrees with many poiskim, but the way he writes with their cheres, and he disagrees with tremendous their cheres, you see that ein darkoi lesaper bignus mishe poisek loikemoiso, or those who disagree with him. He does not attack them. And he conducts and treats them with the highest of kavod. Mishnosoi he ate for Mishnas Chasidim. And therefore the teachings of the Beis Yosef's Mishnas Chasidim is very, very appropriate and very choshev. That's why he was Zoche. So that's the idea with the Lev Nishbor, to live with Anova, to live with the Hargosh of humbleness, that is a primary Yisoid in one's Avodas Hashem and in all areas of Yiddishkeit, as we saw. And that even brought about the Beis Yosef from Rabbi Yosef Karo. So now we're up to Sif Tezayin, in Ho'ikra HaChamishi, which is now the fifth principle. We already discussed, Rabbi Yoina discussed in Shari Tshuva. He discussed that the inyan of Charota, he discussed Aziv Sachet, he discussed Yogoin, the feeling of sorrow. Now there's another principle in one's Mahalach of Tshuva. And that is, he says, Ho'ikra HaChamishi, he says, the fifth ikar is Hade'ogo. De'ogo means Daige. There is worry. There's worry, and I'll soon explain what is the difference between feeling sorry and what is the difference about dogo, about worry. And by the way, what I'm just going to just summarize is very bekitzer, just tell you the outline. He's going to point out that there are three areas of dogo. There's three areas of daiga that a person should have, that the Baal Jewish needs to have. Three areas of worry. One area of worry that he should have is that's the yiras ha'oinish, that the chait that he had done in the past, that this may bring oinish upon him. That is one area of daiga. The second area of daiga is that possibly, he says, he was not yoytze. Maybe the hargosh of tsar that he has, he wants to do tshuva, but maybe the hargosh of tsar, the feeling of tsar, maybe is not enough. Maybe his madrega of regret is not enough. So maybe the actions and the pu'ulas that he's doing in the area of tshuva, maybe it's not enough. He should feel he's not being yoytze. And finally, the third area of daige is that maybe he might be nichshel again. He also always has to be mindful that in the same way that he was choyt in the past, possibly he will be choyt again. So these are three areas of daige. So now he begins with the first one. Again, the first daige is the yiras ha'oinish. He worries about the yiras ha'oinish of the chet. And he goes on to explain as follows. Ho'ikra ha'misha is a daige ki yidag v'yifchad ma'oinish ha'vinoysof. That man basically has to worry and have a pachad from the oinish of his averus. Ki yesh avoinish, you can tell me, what do you mean? I did tshuva. Said Ishari tshuva, but there are certain averus that the Gemara tells himself this human that sometimes tshuva is not enough due to the seriousness of the category of these averus, that sometimes you need yisurim on top of the tshuva. That you have tshuva plus yisurim, there is a degree of suffering that a person might have to undergo. The tshuva actually suspends the kapara, the yisurim emarkim. It is ultimately the yisurim, the suffering that will purge him, that will purge him from chait. As we find over the Melech says in Tehillim, ki avoyni agid, he says, I will admit my transgression. He says, avoyni agid. Yes, I will admit my avoyness, but edag mechatosi. But nevertheless, I still will be worrying. I will be worrying for my chatoi. How do we distinguish between yogoin, which is sorrow, and daiga? Says Ishari Tshuva, the Indian ha-yogoin, when we spoke about sorrow, having sorrow, feeling sorry for the avera, that is al-shovar. That's talking about the past. The Indian ha-daiga is al-osid. But daiga is basically worrying about the osid. What are the consequences of his avera? The consequence of avera was going to cause him suffering, possibly, and oinshim, and so on and so forth. That should be one area of daiga. And by the way, as is pointed out in the Sifri Musa, that if he has daiga, really, regarding the possible need that he might have for suffering, then that daiga, that feeling of tsar that he had, that itself might purge him and will qualify to be yotze of the suffering. Because there's already suffering anyway, through the daiga that he has, worrying about the oinish, the fact that he's worrying about the oinish, and it's on his mind, and mamela, this constitutes daiga, so that itself will absolve him from possible yisurin. So that's one area of daiga. Daig is the yiras ha'oinish that the person has. V'oit sheinis, now comes the second area of daig. What's the second area, what he's worrying about? Yidak. There's also another area that he has to worry about. And that is, ulai hu mekatzer b'choyves ha'tshuva b'tzar u'b'merirus u'b'tzoyim u'b'chi. He has to worry that maybe he's not yoytze. It is avoidus ha'tshuva. Yes, he knows he's trying to do tshuva, but maybe he didn't do enough. Maybe the tsar that he was feeling is not enough. Maybe the bitterness is not enough. Maybe the tzayim is not enough. Maybe the bechi is not enough. So he'll say to himself, what do you mean? I know I did so much. I know that I cried a lot. I know that I felt a lot of pain. Says the Shari Tshuva, you don't know how to measure how much is needed sometimes. Why? Because Vahagam ki, he says, ki hirbo tsar vihirbo, he says, bocho, that even though the person knows that he felt quite a bit of tsar, and also he had quite a bit of weeping. So the Chayre, why is he concerned? Why does he have daige? So he says, Yizchal the Yiro, still he trembles and he fears, Ulai l'umazeh hirbashmo. Who is able to measure the ribuy of the ashma? He's talking about now the quality of the chait. The quality of the chait is something that you can't measure. You may be able to count, I did 5 averas, 6 averas. But you have no idea the quality. One avera may be so serious, the way you did it, and so on and so forth, that maybe that one avera actually entails and encompasses so much. So a person therefore is not able to measure how much tsar can neget the quality of the avera, because he has to be concerned, le'umazeh, on the other side of the tsar, on the other side of the bechir, here ba'ashmo. And of course, a chet is measured, two people can do the exact same avera, and totally the din, and the yoinish of neshamayim is totally different. Because Kesh Baruch Hu actually weighs exactly, precisely, and measures each chet, even though it's the same chet that two people might have done. For example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu measures. He said, what was the matzav? What was your matzav when you did the Avera? What was the other person's matzav when he did the Avera? Also, sometimes age has something to do with it. What was your concern? What was your mood? What was your state of mind? And that's something, as the Rambam tells us already, by the way, in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Teshuva, Halacha Beis, Halacha Beis, actually, the Rambam says no one is able to measure that, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who is able to measure exactly how much weight any Avera that a person does carries. Again, two people might do the exact same Avera, and yet the din is totally different. Or the yoinish, the retribution, will be totally different. Based upon how HaKadosh Baruch Hu measures it, the size of it, the quality of it, how much hanor did you have from that Avera, and so on. And therefore, the person has to be concerned. You are not able to measure that. So maybe he says, here Ba'ashima, maybe the Osham, maybe the Avera, maybe the Avera is so great, the Eichus Achet, the quality of the Avera. And Memela, V'loi Hishlim Chukoi, and therefore he didn't pay his debt. V'loi Hishlim Chukoi, es kol unoisoi, v'kashu yivke betzim nafshoi. In spite of his fasting and everything else, maybe he still did not pay his debt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's another daige that a person has to have. As a matter of fact, he goes on further to tell you that the truth is, if you would recognize what it means to sin keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you would recognize what your achrayus is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you recognize the chiyuv of the avodas Hashem that a person has, the chiyuv that he has, because goydel melech malcha amlochim, the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, u'misha is boinen begoydel avodas habayir al yisura. A person has to always make a cheshbon that I zecher for sure I fell short in my avodas Hashem klapa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it takes time to reflect upon that, to realize that, to be mizbeinen the goydel avodas habayir al yisurav. A person has to recognize, he says, the chiyuv that he has in his avodas habayir. In other words, Rabbeinu Yoin himself in Shara Tshuva in Shara Beis points out that tshuva, a person does tshuva not only in averus, a person does tshuva on mitzvahs, not doing the mitzvahs appropriately, being mekatzer in the mitzvah, not doing the mitzvah to its to your fullest potential, not giving the mitzvah that which you were able to put into the mitzvah. Sometimes it's lack of kavanah, sometimes it's atzlus, sometimes it's laziness, sometimes it's lack of cheshik, sometimes it's, and so on. So therefore, the kitzur in your avodas Hashem, if a person really recognizes that, the chiyuv, the goydel avodas habayir al yisurav, the great extent of one's chiyuv should be in avodas Hashem. The in case, also on the other side, when you do sin, there is no end, he says, to the evil, to the avla that you have done. He says, "En kates leroas hamamres piv," the one who disobeys the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you make the cheshbon on two spheres, on two fields. In the area of mitzvahs, you say to yourself, even though I did many mitzvahs, assuming you did, you say, but I never was yoytze. I never was yoytze to all that I should be doing. Klap the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In Melech Malcha Amlochem. And what he did for me, he created me, as he mentioned before, the Shar Tshuva, in the other inyonim that we learned before. Mamela, how much I owe a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So therefore, as much as I'm doing, he feels he's not yoytze. When I was choyte, do you know what it means to be choyte? There's no end, there's no gvul. He said to the evil that a person did, hamamres piv, and therefore he says, kol asher yoseh b'avoido u'bedarkei tshuva. Therefore, don't pat yourself on the back. You said, oh, I did a lot of tshuva already, because as much as you did, you were moisef and avoidus tshuva. Haloi mitzor hi. It's so he says, it's basically meager. Vehinu lemayit beinov, he says, compared to maybe what a person should be doing. Possibly you are not yotze. And therefore, a person should worry about that. That is the second worry. That a person is mekatzer in his avodas Hashem. He is being mekatzer in his avodas hatshuva. Ve'yomar, and he points this out, in fact, that this hashkofet, that a person should really worry that he's not yotze, klapa kodesh baruch hu. This is something we find that Shlomo HaMelech already discusses it. That he said, ve'yomar, Shlomo HaMelech olav ha'sholem. We find that Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Mishlei. Shomel said the following words, Chochom Yorei V'sar Meiro. Now let's look at that posik. It's interesting how Rabbeinu Yoina here in Shara Tshuva is going to interpret this posik. Let's take the literal translation so to appreciate the added pshat that the Shara Tshuva is going to interpret here. The simple translation is, Chochom Yorei, a wise man fears. Now the foolish person is not afraid of anything. Everything is fine, whatever I do. He has no concern, he has no achrayus, he has no responsibility. That's a foolish person. But a chacham yare, pashut pshat, a chacham yare, someone who is a wise man, he fears. And what else? Visar meira, and he turns away from evil. That's simple shot. Now, what's the vav? And. Chacham, as he says, Chacham yare. He begins with the fact that the Chacham fears Hashem. And visar, and he turns away from evil. What the Shaar Tshuva suggests, the word the, we find in other places, and here he suggests as well, the word the means not always and, the means even. It means like this. Let's look at it. Chacham yare, the Chacham is afraid, visar meira, even when he's turning away from Ra. Why? Because he's afraid he's not Yotze. Chacham yare, the Chacham is afraid, visar meira, in spite of turning away from Ra. Visar meira, even when he turns away from Ra. Because the attitude of a person has to be that he owes HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much that he's mekatzer in his avodah. And no matter how much he has already done, but in his mind he has to realize that he is still far from achieving his fullest potential in his avodah. And that is what a chacham who understands this is one who is worried about that. It is a chacham who is afraid about that. And therefore he says as follows, Biyuroi. You know what it means, chacham yare, visar meira? Not visar, and he turns away. Vav means and, usually. Therefore he says, no. Beyura, what it means is, ha-chocham, afal pishu husar meira, b'chalam tzikoychoi. Even though the chocham turns away from evil with all his power, still yira the yizchal, he fears and he trembles, ulai loy kila chukoi, maybe he was not yoytze, he did not pay his debt, loy nizor kedas malasois. So Rabbi Yonah tells us that the Pasuk Chacham Yare Visar Meira. So in a certain sense, one can imagine the Pasuk, according to this Kavana, the Pasuk, really the words can be reversed in order to appreciate. Imagine if the Pasuk would say, Chacham Sar Meira, and he's still Yare. It would say first Sar Meira. The Chacham basically turns away from evil, the Yare, and he's afraid. It says the other way, but the Kavana is, this is what the Shaar Tshuva is trying to impress upon us, that the Chacham is Yare in spite of the fact of Visar Meira. And he goes on to show, to bring you a riot to that, that the Vav, when it says Vav, like Visar Meira, it doesn't mean and he turns away from evil, but Visar means even when he turns away from evil, still Chacham Yare. Where do we find that a Vav means even though, in spite of, where do we find that? He brings a riot from another Pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk says in Mishlei, V'kamayu, there's a Pasuk in Mishlei that says, Me'ikesh d'rochayim v'hu osher. That's the Pasuk. Now, simple translation would mean, Me'ikesh d'rochayim. A person basically who perverts his ways. He's ma'akesh. He perverts his ways. That's the way he conducts his life. He's ma'akesh, he's drochim. He's me'ikesh d'rochayim, a person who perverts his ways. V'hu osher. What does it mean, v'hu osher? And he's rich? No. Even though he's rich. That means even though he is rich, and if you are rich, you can afford, therefore, you can afford to do what's right. Because you are rich, you have the wherewithal. And Baruch Hashem, you have the comfort, you have the ability. So Shlomo HaMelech cacks the gates. He casts the gates, the person who basically he perverts his ways, even though he's an Oysher. If you're an Oysher, thank Hashem. Maybe have a course of Toyta Kodesh Baruch Hu. Maybe conduct your way in the way that Hashem should be proud of you. After all, he gave you Ashiris. And so the Pasuk, therefore is rebuking. The Pasuk is saying that Me'ikish Durachayim, the person basically is perverting his ways. What's the hu asher? Not and he's an usher. The hu asher afa pishu hu asher. So here another indication we have the vav, the hu, which it means even though. The word vahu means even though. That afa pishu asher. The chen omer rabbi sayin the chen of rocha. And someone we find, the chazal say medish tanchuma. Al tefarei, she says, don't translate the posik. Chacham yore. The Chacham is afraid, Visar Meira, and he turns away from evil. Ele Chacham Sar Meira Veyare. The Chacham who turns away from evil and still is afraid. Which means to say this, even though that you know you're Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, don't just sit back and be so happy with yourself, because you always have to have the motivation to feel that what? That you are still behind, you're lacking behind. If you make a Cheshem to whom you owe your life, to whom you are serving, you're serving the Melech, Malach HaMelechim, the schus that you have, the privilege that you have. So no matter how much you might think that you are doing, the Chacham, the wise man, is always Yore. He's always afraid he may not be doing enough. And the pshat that I'm telling you, in case you have any doubts, that the meaning of the Pasuk is that the Chochem is afraid in spite of the fact that he saw a Merah, because the end of the Pasuk contrasts the Chochem with the foolish man. So when you see what it says about the foolish man, so now you know what the Chochem is. Because the Chochem is doing the opposite of the foolish man. What does the foolish man do? So the Pasuk says further. That's why he says, V'soifa Pasuk Mechicholot. Just look at the end of the Pasuk. By looking at the end of the Pasuk, you're going to find out what the Chochem should be doing. Because take a look what the Ksil does. The Pasuk says, Uksil, on the other hand, the foolish man. The Pasuk and Mishlah contrasts the Chochem, the ways of the Chochem, to the ways and the Mahalach of the Ksil. And it says, Uksil misaber uboiteach. The fool, basically, first of all, a fool always becomes enraged. He gets angry about everything. Everything bothers him. He has no tolerance. Misaber means he becomes enraged. Uboiteach. And what? And he's confident. So here you have, the Ksil does what's really wrong, what's bad, and still he's confident. The Chochem is the opposite. He does what's good, and he's not confident. So that's the exact opposite. The Ksil becomes enraged and does everything wrong, many things wrong, and Ubeteach, and yet he feels confident with himself, because he's foolish. The Chochem is the opposite. The Chochem does what's right, and he's not confident. That's the difference between the Ksil and the Chochem. If you take a look, he says, Omar al-Midas ha-Ksil. We see that the Pasuk described what is the midah of the Ksil, what is the behavior of the Ksil. The behavior of the Ksil, the foolish man, is shebehepech memidas ha-chochem. The Ksil, obviously, is doing just the opposite of what the Chochem does. Ki ha-Ksil misaber. The Ksil becomes enraged. Vim kol zoyis boiteach. Right? He is so confident. He's so confident with himself. Shelo yikreu, he says, oven venezek. He's so confident that nothing is going to hurt him, nothing is going to damage him, and so on and so forth. And yet, how foolish it is, because you realize, you know what, Kas? A person becomes enraged. That itself should be an eye-opener. Because if he's a Ksil, is someone who does not control his anger, as the Pasuk says, Misaber, he becomes easily enraged, says the Shaar Tshuva. You want to know what Kas leads to? He says, Ubal HaKas, someone who is a balkas. A balkas means someone who has no control over his emotions and he gets angry. Olu lipshoyim. Automatically, being a balkas makes you prey to sin. A balkas basically is olu lipshoyim. Umufkal in izokin. Also, he's open to injury. By the way, the Mishnah Berurah also, actually in his Sefer Shemiras Haloshon, the Chofetz Chaim, where we learn in the morning, where he says in one of the prakim that in Lagaba the Avera of Lashon Hara, there are many different factors what motivates a person to speak Lashon Hara. It's not always the same Siba. The symptom comes out at the end, the person speaks Lashon Hara. Why he speaks Lashon Hara? It's not always the same. You can have 10 people speaking Lashon Hara for different reasons. So basically he says that there's a Rosh HaTevis for that. Rosh HaTevis, he says, for the motivation factors, Rosh HaTevis is Kol Gehenim. Kol Gehenim. The Chof of Kol, the Chof is Kas. That's one motivation. Person who's a kaisen, the person who's a balkas, does not control his anger. Mamela, it expresses himself in words and so on and so forth, and right away when he's angry, especially he's angry about somebody, and if he's a balkas, he's not going to mince any words, not going to spare any words. It's going to bring him to Lashon Hara. So that's the chof. What's the lamed? Kol? Lamed is leitzonis. Person who makes leitzonis, his life is leitzonis. He has no serious side to himself. Life is a leitzonis, and so on. Leitzonis, he makes leitzonis of people. Leitzonis of people invariably involves Lashon Hara. Good things you're not going to laugh about. What you can be able to mock is things which are the downside of people. So that's the Leitzonis. Gehenim. The Gimel, for example, is Gaiver. And so on. He goes on and on. The Yud is Yeyush, a person basically who gives up hope, says, I'll never be able to stop and control myself. Sometimes people think that they are never able to change. They are so addicted to a particular Midah Ra that he gives up hope. So it goes on. In each area, the Shemiras Haloshon goes on to teach us that you are able to work on each of the sibis, of the causes, root causes. You have to analyze yourself. Sometimes you have all of them. You have to analyze within yourself, says the Shemiras Haloshon, where do you belong? Which category? What is your sibah? And then to uproot that sibah, whether it's kas, whether it's leitzonis, whether so on. By the way, the end of Gehenim is a mem. What's the shtevis of mem? Mutter. He says you'll have to speak Lashon Hara. Mutter. I would say mem's a mitzvah, yeah. It's a mitzvah. But akalpadim. So these are the inyonim that a person has to work on to uproot the shayrish, to remove the shayrish, then of course, then you will not have the tetzos, you will not have the consequences. So here it points out the Shaar Tshuva. Balkas, I have to mention something very interesting. There's very little written when the Chofetz Chaim took upon himself the task and the commitment to write a sefer on Shemiras Haloshim, which was not written. I'm talking about not the Shemiras Haloshim, more the Musas, not the Halochis. The Chofetz Chaim is the sefer on the Halochis. There's a lot of intricate Halochis there. And he basically had to do a lot of research because there was nothing done going back from the early Rishonim. Nothing was done in a cumulative way, certainly not in a comprehensive way, all the various details in the Halachos of Lashon Hara. So he had to really work at it many, many years and to try to glean from, sometimes you find a halacha scattered here, a different halacha there, and bring them all together. Where he did find, and which he quotes a lot regarding the areas of Lashon Hara, he brings a lot from Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva and the different Mekoymes and sources, but he quotes a lot Shari Tshuva because Shari Tshuva, he found a lot of halachas that he couldn't find any place else to see what the attitude of Rishonim are regarding particular, is this Lashon Hara, is this not called Lashon Hara, and many of the guidelines regarding Lashon Hara. And so Shari Tshuva happens to be one of the sources to the Sefer Chofetz Chaim to find out halachas of Lashon Hara. So now he goes further. So the Ksil on the one hand is a Misaber. The Ksil on the one hand is a Misaber means he's an enraged person. Right? And he's B'tayach. How can he be B'tayach? A Balkas is Olu L'Pshoyim U'Mufkal L'Nizokim. Shenemak, the Pasuk in Mishle says, Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishle, U'Balchema Ra Pesha. Somebody who is a man of wrath. Balchema means he's a man of wrath, a man of anger. You know what about him? Ra Pesha. It means that he is full of sin. Show me a Balchema. Show me a man who is a Balkas, and I'll show you a man that's full of sin. So, the Ksil is enraged. He's a Balchema. He's a Misaber. And yet he's a Boiteach. That's why he's called a Ksil. That's why he's called a foolish person. As a matter of fact, Venema, the Pozik says further. The Pozik says, Ir Perutzo. The Pozik says that he's compared. A Balkas, by the way, is out of control. A person who does not have, right, who does not have a Shlita on his emotions, basically is someone who's on lack of control, is compared to what the Pozik says, Ir Perutzo Ein Choymo. In other words, like a city that is broken down without a wall. Imagine a city that needs a wall to protect itself. A city that is broken down without a wall. Ish asher ein matzel l'ruchoy. So is a person whose spirit is without restraint. A person whose spirit is without restraint is similar to a city that lost its wall, that lost its protection. Because if you're a balkas, so basically then you have no control on what you're going to do. And therefore, balchema is a rav pesha. So this is the ksil. So what about the chacham? The chacham is lehefer. The chacham is just the opposite. The chacham is a yira. The chacham is someone who is afraid. The chacham is not confident. The chacham is worried about everything. Even though visar meira, even though he's trying to do the right thing, but he's a chacham. He knows and he feels he's never yotze, doing enough to klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore he is always in a matzav of yira, driving himself to try to do more, trying to be just a little better, and up to be moisif a little more. And finally, one more here, Rabbi Yisrael, and we'll look at the sheet. And he says, V'oid. This is now comes the third daiga. Because so far we had two daigas. Again, what are the two daigas? Daiga number one is we started, Hu'ikra Chamishi. That a person should have daiga that's from Yiras Ha'inish. That was daiga number one. The Baal Tshuva should worry about Yiras Ha'inish. Even though, again, let's repeat, even though he knows that he's doing Tshuva. So why should he be worried about? But the answer is, maybe the Tshuva does not suffice, does not equal the Chaymer Achet. Because no one is able to measure, as he says, here ba'ashma, nobody is able to measure the quality of chet, nobody is able to measure the echus of the chet. So who knows if the tshuva really, his pras of tshuva really matches up to the quality of the avera. And the second, as he said, vo'ichein is yidak, what was the second? The second area of daige was that he's being mekatzer, that he's being mekatzer in his avodas Hashem, he's being mekatzer in his avodas Hashuva. Besides Yiras Ha'inish that he's worried about, he's worried about his kitzur in Avodas HaTshuva, he's worried about not doing enough in his Avodas Hashem. And what is the third area of being worried about? Remember we pointed out, the third area is where maybe he might sin again. He's not confident, even though he knows he's doing tshuva. But who knows? There's a Yetzer Hara does not rest. Yetzer Hara does not stop. So therefore, V'oid Yidak Bal Tshuva. And there comes the third daige that the Bal Tshuva has to worry about. And that is Pen Yisgaber of Yitzroi. He's worried that maybe the Yetzer Hara will be misgaber upon him. As Chazal have told us, Mishnah Yisovos, Al tamin ba'atzamucha ad yoy moischo. Never be confident that you're going to remain a tzaddik till the day that you die. Because the Yetzer Hara might get you just the very, very last moment. Mamish, the very last moment. Koshken huish. Especially, now that's talking about, by the way, somebody who is a tzaddik, who is successful to be a tzaddik, Right? The success will be a tzaddik for years and years. Even he has to worry that just because he's a tzaddik for years and years, who knows what will happen the last moment. Especially now, make a kal v'chomer, a person who is not a continuous, consistent tzaddik, but he has his ups and downs all the time, as the average person does. So, koshken uish ashen nitzchoy v'yitzroy kvar, a person whose yetzahara already got the best of him, ki royali yishomem min ha-yetzer ha-oyrev b'choleis, you have to stand on guard from the yetzahara who is oyrev, who is lurking. The yetzahara is continuously, consistently lurking to get you. What do you have to do? Well, ha-hoysev b'nafsha yiras Hashem yom yom. That's what you have to do. Yerushalayim, you have to keep working on Yerushalayim. You can't just davening Rabbi Yisai, that's not Yerushalayim alone. A person has to work on Yerushalayim. You have to work la-hoysev b'nafsha yiras Hashem yom yom. A person should take a minute or two every day. A person should think about what this is, looking to Svarim, that basically are me'orim to yiras Hashem. And when a person really works on his Yerushalayim, that is really the strongest protection, as he says. Because ha-hoysofeh, in adding yiras Hashem to one's life, that will be a fortress to him. That will be like a fortress. Ba'avoir olav kol mishberei ha-yetzer, when all the waves of the Yetzirah will come upon him, hamischadish lo'osin, that will come upon him in the future. As the Gemara interestingly says in Kedushin Daf Lamed, the Gemara gives us two members regarding the Yetzirah. One member, the Gemara says, Yitzroi shalodon mizgaber olav b'choyoyim. First you have to realize, it's a fight, it's an eternal fight. The Yetzirah is mizgaber against a person, the Yetzirah rises up against the person every day. But that's not even enough. The Gemara says a second memory. That Yitro Shalodah Mischade Shalod B'choyoyim. He comes with new tactics, with new ideas. Which means that even if you figured out on one particular day how to overcome the Yetzirah, how to overpower the Yetzirah will figure out another way. And therefore, you have to be ready for everything and realize that just because you won against the Yetzirah yesterday doesn't mean you're going to win again today. The Yetzirah keeps scheming and keeps plotting many, many different ways, always coming up with new ideas, new inventions, new situations, new push buttons, all types of situations, in order to ensnare. That's what he says. Mishbrei ha-yetzer ha-mischadish lo-osim. What is the yetzer? The yetzer says, to be moise b'nafsha yiras Hashem, yoim yoim. So Rabbi Yisrael, let's take a look a little bit on the sheet to see a number of inyonim regarding what we have just studied today. First of all, we have here, the first item is from the Sefer Tam V'Das, Parshas Voschanan from Rav Moshe Sternbuch, where basically, regarding what the Shaar Tshuva mentioned in the second daiga, the Shaar Tshuva told us that there are three daigas that a person should have, the Baal Tshuva has to have. The first daiga again was Yiras Oynish, as a result of his Averis, and even though he's doing Tshuva, maybe his Tshuva doesn't match up to the degree, to the quality of his Averis. So he has to have Yiras Oynish, that's his daiga. The second daiga was, that pochet, he is mekatzer, he's being mekatzer in his avodas Hashem and in his avodas Hashuvah. He's never doing enough. What we find over here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, let's remember, just let's set the stage over here. In Parshas Voschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading to be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. The gzeirah was, he's not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. And he goes on, and the way basically he makes his case in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, look, you entrusted me with so much, you have shown me so much, and Moshe Rabbeinu says the following words, Ato hachiloi solaharis es abdecho. You basically have started and you have shown me as God lechov zelchach zoka shemikel b'shemayim mevoretz ashiyase chemasecho v'givurasecho ebrono. Moshe Rabbeinu basically is presenting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to try to justify, look how loyal I was to you, look how much you showed me, look my connection that I have with you. Allow me please to go into Eretz Yisrael. But you notice he used the lashon ato hachiloisa. This is but Rabbi Yisai, when is he saying this? Ato hachiloisa. He's saying this at the end of his life. And he's using the lashon atah chiloisa. You have started to show me. What is that kavana atah chiloisa? So Rashi Sternberg points out, by the way, this idea is mentioned also in Sfarim before him. But anyway, here he brings it here he, in the Sefer Tam V'Das on his own. Atah chiloisa. Yesh lanu lehisayre Moshe Rabbeinu. Poshet, each and every yid, he says, should take his sayres and learn from Moshe Rabbeinu's attitude. Shebechol yoim hasogosoi biyediyas Hashem, he says, ve'oitzem deveikusoi b'chochmal yoino. The fact, in spite of the tremendous heights, Moshe Rabbeinu's hasoge, no one could match Moshe Rabbeinu's hasoge in comprehension. No one was able to have a havon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Moshe Rabbeinu. Who had more dveikus in Hashem than Moshe? No one had more dveikus in Hashem. Yet, in spite of everything, lo'idima beliboy, Moshe Rabbeinu never imagined, ki kvar hishlim kinyone nafshoi, V'dayloi b'mashik far hisik. Moshe Rabbeinu never thought Hashem Yotze Gevein. After all, I reached the epitome. I reached the height of heights. No one is as high in Dveikas Hashem as I am. Moshe Rabbeinu could have sat back and said, you know what? I already attained Shleimus. I achieved completeness. I achieved perfection. Ela Adrab, just the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu feels Adayim Bereishis Darkoi Huaymet. Instead of feeling perfect, Moshe Rabbeinu, on the contrary, he feels as if he's just starting out. Moshe Rabbeinu's career, where somebody else would never reach, he feels he never even started. He never even started. V'zehu, and this is the emphasis when Moshe Rabbeinu says the words, Ato hachiloiso laharis is avdecho. I feel as if you had just started to show me. Ato hachiloiso. This is the end of his days. Moshe Rabbeinu is leaving the world. And he's using the lashon ato hachiloiso, you have just begun to show me. Which means to say, Che'ach ato hoche lirois, v'lahakir goydol mifalis Hashem v'yoda hachizoka. And baruchahu aderach lefonov, and Moshe Rabbeinu feels that there's such a long road ahead of him. The great Moshe Rabbeinu feels that there's still such a long road ahead of him. Lahashlim avaydosa v'tikinish mosoi, lahavi ol tachlis yitzirosa, to bring it to the tachlis of what's created. V'lozehu, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu, so what's his case? His case is, I need to go into Eretz Yisrael. You know why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, I can attain much more shleimus than a chutz laretz. Somebody else in the Madriga of a Moshe Rabbeinu would say, I've already reached perfection. There's nothing more to add. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. There's so much more that I need to do. And the best place to do it, to attain higher levels of Kedusha, is in Eretz Yisrael. I need, my neshama still needs tikkun. That's the attitude of a Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lezehu shetiz hischan, and that's why he's pleading, Ebro novi eretz oretz atoiva, shebi yoysu shoru bepaltin shel melech. If you go into Eretz Yisrael, which is the palace of the king, that's what Eretz Yisrael is. Eretz Yisrael, the Zohar Kodesh describes Eretz Yisrael, that's the palace of the king. When you are in the palace of the king, he says, V'oivet es koina behechel kochoi, and you serve Hashem in the heichel koch, yale beyodoi lehiz basem, v'lehonosh meziv shechenosish baruch. Then you can fill yourself, right, with the glory of the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch on the highest level, being in the Paltin Shomelech, being in the presence of the king. The Yiske Lahasoga is now is Beyoisa, now will be Zerche to much higher Hasoga, to much higher Dveikas Bashem. Shalei Zocha Lohem Behiyoisoi Bechutz Laris. So we see here again, this is the Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of all, yet Moshe Rabbeinu's attitude is not that he had reached perfection, just the opposite, not close to perfection, not even halfway there. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ato hachiloiso. As far as I'm concerned, I barely scratched the surface. I've just begun my avoida. I've just begun, he says, I need all the help that I can get to really be able to grow. And I feel that the place where I'm able to really continue to grow is really in Eretz Yisrael. That's the place. Therefore, Ebro no viera. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading and presenting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is one nekuda. This is being expressed that we learned here in the Shaar Tshuva. That's Dago Beis. That a person, no matter how much he feels that he had tzar and he had bechia and so on and so forth, but he should have dago days that maybe all that he did, it's really a kitzer, he still was mekatzer in avodas Hashem, that which is really due, that which a person should really be doing, he was really mekatzer and never achieved it. I want to show you something somewhat tremendous, and I'll show it to you here in the Chassam Sofer, in the Drushas Chassam Sofer. It's in Daf Resh Mem Zayin. And we hear it's number two that we have here. That even if a person was zoiche to be mekadish himself and to grow high, lo yistapik b'madregosoi, a person should not be satisfied with his madrega, ele tzorich lehishtadil lehamshich lehisalois oid void. You have to be mishtadil, you never stop. You never stop, but you continue to be mishtadil to grow more and more, higher and higher, v'chol yoim yifsoil madregosoi akademis. What it means is, Rabbi said, not only you strive to grow higher, you say to yourself, not yesterday was not enough. Yesterday was possible. What I did yesterday compared to what I should be doing today, you have to continue to grow. That compared to yesterday, legabe today, yesterday bechlal, tzvamish possible. It was not right. It's inappropriate. It's one thing to say, yesterday was good, today is better. No. The attitude should be, not yesterday was good, today is better. Yesterday wasn't good at all. Now it's going to be better. At kedei kach should be the attitude of a person according to his new madrega that he grows every day. As he points out, ki madregas hakedusha heim le'ein soif. There are no end to how high a person can attain madregas of kedusha. V'cholis alusi adayin ke'ayin. So no matter how high you grow, it's all compared to nothing, to infinity, because you can just continue to grow more and more. According to his potential. That which we are saying is the Mishnosos from Sofer. Chum Sofer says these words in his drosha. Listen to the words. This now comes the actual words of the Chum Sofer. This was the Hakdama to what the Chum Sofer is telling us. It's a mind-boggling words, Rabbi Yisai said, to make you the Hakdama. Listen to these words of the Chum Sofer. Listen to what he says. And no one else could say these words or take the achrayis to say what you're going to see now in these next few lines. It's only the Chassam Sofer. And no one can say it like he says it. V'nerali, b'mashonu oimrim b'chol doer chayiv liras es atzmoy kilu hu yotzim in Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Every generation and person should imagine as if you went out of Mitzrayim. Shenemar, as the Pesuk says, v'oisi, I went out of Mitzrayim, right? So every generation and person says, I. V'oisi hoisi misham. You know what that means? Bakavone. Sam Soif says every year has to be a higher level of Avodas Hashem than last year. Every year we have to go to a higher level. You know how high? The difference between the new year to last year. It's a mind-boggling thing. My Kedusha next year or this year is so much more that last year's Avodas Legabetrei was like Mitzrayim. Kansas Furstone, we know what the Avodah was in Mitzrayim. But there was hardly any Madrega that Yid had in Mitzrayim. If anything, according to the Mukubolim, the Arizal tells that they were in Memtesh Aratuma. The difference that a Yid should feel, Chol Yoyim B'Yoyim Huyotzim in Mitzrayim, that the Avodah that I'm now going to attain should be so much higher than last year's Avodah, that if I compare last year's with this year, it's not just it's going to be better the next year. But last year's was like Mitzrayim compared to this year's Avodah. It's a mind-boggling thing, how much is expected of a person to continue to grow. Neged kedushosoy, he says, the avoided till now is a bechin of Mitzrayim. Keneged the kedusha, she is alav yiskadish. He says mikan ulahalom. I want to point out, Rabbi, so we go to number 5, and to show you basically what Ramchal says, the gabbik, because the balchema, the Sharchuva pointed out that the ksil is basically he's a balkas. He enrages, and yet he's confident with his life. Lud Ramchal writes a few lines we're going to see here. Ramchal is in Perek Yud Aleph, in Mesilas Yesharim, regarding the Balkas, the Balchema, that we saw here in the Shara Tshuva. V'ne ha-kason k'day la-hachriv oy le-mole. You know what he says? It's a mind-boggling thing. Somebody who is in Kas does not care about anything. That means you cannot trust him. He is ready, enraged. Kas can cause him to destroy the whole world. It doesn't bother him. When he's in a matzav of kas, he loses sight of anything else. Nothing is important. It's kedai for him to destroy. Yes, Rabbi, he said, people who have the finger on the button, you have to be very careful. Because someone who is a balkas, it's kedai for him. Just get him angry, tip him off. It's kedai la hachriv oylo mole im yeh yecholos biyodoy. Ramchal is saying this. As long as he would have the ability, he would do it. Ke ein ha seichel shoylo biklal. Kas means you're out of control. No mind control. Your mind is totally mishubed. It's bottled to the emotion that you are feeling. He's like a chaya that has no problem murdering and killing. It's not murdering. Chaya kills, basically. So a person who's about kas is no different than a chaya that tears its prey. But all of them are, and it's on the balkas that the Pesuk says in Iyuv. Toireif nafshoi ba'apoi. That a person who tears himself apart in his anger, apoy means anger. He's a toyref nafshe biapoy. Halamancho tazoy veretz. Do you think because he's angry that the earth will abandon? Do you think the earth will be abandoned because for your sake, just because you're angry, so the earth is going to change? What do you think you are? But the Balkas thinks that what? That he's so important. He's in caste. He has an agenda. And it's important, his agenda. That's what the world should go by. And Eve says, just because you're tearing yourself apart in chaos, should that change the world, really? So, v'hu kal vadai, he says Ramchal, a person's about chaos, I want you to know, it's easy for him, vadai, lavoy kol mina aderi shebiyadam. Nothing can stand in the way. If he's about chaos, he has no protection, he has no shmira, he's apt, he's capable to be over kol aderi shebiyadam, im chamosoy tisiyeu lehem, as long as his chaos will lead him there. There's nothing to stop it. There's nothing else that's motivating him. It's only his kas. Where the kas is going to take him, that's where he's going to go. So here we have a little bit, just an idea of these midos that the Shara Tshuva is telling us, how destructive they are, and how it's important really to come with the control of that. Let me tell you one of the wonderful Hasidic maises that is told, a guy on the topic that we're speaking of, we're concluding with that, and that is Rabbi Mechala Mizlochev, one of the great Tzaddike Hador. He was his father was called the Magid of Drobich, Reb Yitzchak of Drobich. Reb Yitzchak of Drobich was said that when he came to the Baal Shem Tov, he lived in the time of the Baal Shem Tov. Reb Mechala Mizlochev also saw the Baal Shem Tov as a young child still. Reb Yitzchak, he called him Reb Yitzchak of Drobicher, and he came to the Baal Shem Tov, and then the Baal Shem Tov saw him again. The Baal Shem Tov said about Reb Yitzchak of Drobich, he said, that he was born with one of the lowest neshamas in the generation, and with his koyach and his commitment, he raised the level of his neshama so high that you don't find such a neshama in many previous generations. This is what he said about Reb Yitzchak Drobicher, who was the father of Reb Mechala Mizlochev. Reb Mechala Mizlochev was the Rebbe of the Be'er Maim Chaim, was his Pirish Be'er Maim Chaim HaChumash, which from time to time he quotes his Rebbe, Reb Mechala Mizlochev. And one of the things I think that we had mentioned in the past in one of the Chumash Yerim, as a matter of fact, that regarding that there is, actually not everybody's aware of that, that there is big controversy when there is a Choyle Lo Yaleinu, when it's a good idea to change his name, Shinu Hashem. It's very common when a Choyle is very, very sick, so Blessed Bravery would use to change his name, and hoping that the Shinu Hashem will tear the Gzar Din, because the Gzera was only on a person called by this name, and by changing the name, it's a totally different person. That's the inyan of the Shinu Hashem. Shinu Hashem basically changes the Mahus. This is a totally different person. Change of name is a different person, and the Gzera does not apply to him. On the other hand, the Be'er Maim Chaim brings down from Mechas Lotchiker that he opposed it very, very strongly. In one of the Shurim HaChumash, you might remember, we spoke about the significance of a name, that the name basically is not just a name, a label, but the name basically defines the essence and the Mahus of the person. That's why when Oda Merishin gave the names to all of the Chayis, what's the big deal? Oda Merishin gave all the names. And the Medrash tells us that the Chachomim, that the Malochim, actually, at first looked down upon Oda Merishin, when man, who's man? Man is Ofer Ben Adoma. We as a spiritual beings, we are highly charged beings. How can man compare himself to us? We are Malochim, we have no Yetzirah, we're Givaldik, we're so spiritual. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, are you able to give names to all the animals, the Behemoths and the Chayis? They said no. Oda Merishin did. He was able to recognize the whole Pnimius, the whole genetic makeup, so to speak, not genetic makeup physically, but the whole emotion, all of the character traits of each and every animal, and through the letters in the Shem HaKodesh, Ari is Aleph Resh Yud. In those letters lies the Mahus and the Koich HaChius. That's the life force of the animal, and so on. Oda Merishin was able to give the appropriate name by recognizing the Mahus, the Pnimius, of each, to define the character of each and every animal, to give the name. The name is what gives the person his life force. Said Reb Mechala Mizlochev, who knows, when you have a Choyle who's so sick, but he's still alive. He's still alive. For the moment, at least, he's alive. Maybe the only thing that keeps him alive is his name. By changing his name, you're taking that away, and Choyle, he may die even sooner. Unless you are a Tzaddik Hador, who is a Boki in the Shoresh Neshama of a person, and you know when you're giving him a new name, that that name really is appropriate to this person, and Mamel is able to give him life force as well. But if you do not know the Shoresh Neshama of a person, he says, then you should not be changing names. I mentioned, I think, Brussels and Square, Shit is also, they don't change them. Just using that, just one, there are many others who don't. Again, this is not to state a position, to take a position whether one should or should not, but just let you know that there is big and a lot of inyonim and differences of opinion whether a choyle should have his name changed or not. Some swear by it, and some strongly, strongly oppose it, not to make a shinu hashem. So anyway, so Reb Mechala Mizlochev, that was his shita, and the Be'er Maim Chaim brings it down the Pirush of Chumash. So now, Reb Mechala Mizlochev had very expensive tefillin that he got beYerusha from his father. These tefillin were more choshev to him than anything else that he owned. These tefillin were more choshev to him than anything else that he owned. And the rich Hasidim tried to offer exorbitant amounts of money. They wanted to buy these tefillin. Tefillin, such choshev tefillin. So they offered him a lot of money to buy those tefillin. And in spite of the fact that Reb Mechala Mizlochev, this goes back even before he was well known, because Tzaddikim became this galah later in time, when the time came for them to be revealed. By the way, Rebbe Bzisha was a poor man, as you know, and dire poverty, but he was the happiest person alive in the world, even though he didn't have anything. And Reb Nechman Zolotshev also had a very, very, was a life of poverty. And they offered him a lot of money, just to sell the tefillin. They want to buy the tefillin, but nothing we're doing. The money's worth it, the tefillin are worth it more than any money or nothing. No money can buy those tefillin. He would never sell those tefillin. And in spite of the fact that his wife continuously pushed him and pleaded with him, listen, there's no food in the house, there's no parnos in the house, sell those tefillin, you can make, the chassidim are offering you a lot of money. And nevertheless, he would not, he says his tefillin, he says, he had other tefillin to davening. Those were not the tefillin that he davened. So his wife said, you have other tefillin for davening, so why don't you sell those tefillin that you have, be Yerusha, choshev tefillin, and you'll be able to have a little bit of a parnosa for a while. Nevertheless, no, he insisted, these are tefillin, these are more precious to me than anything that I own, I'm not selling it. 1 year in Zlotchev, there were no Esraigim. 1 year in Zlotchev, there were no Esraigim, and it's already coming a few weeks before Sukkot, and still, in Zlotchev, there is no Esraig. Until it was Erev Sukkot Mamish. Erev Sukkot, a particular person from out of nowhere, happens to arrive in Zlotchev, and he has a very beautiful Esraig to sell. He has a very beautiful Esraig to sell, but he wanted a lot of money. The demand was tremendous, there's no other Esraigim. This would be the only Esraig or so, or certainly one of the few Esraigim. So basically he requested a Schum Godel, and Reb Nechman Zolotshev decided he wants to buy that Esraig. But wait a minute, he has no money. I have tefillin. And he sold the tefillin, his precious tefillin, that he would not sell for any money in the world. He sold off those tefillin, bought the Esraig, and he went home b'simcha rabba, that he acquired this most gorgeous Esraig, and he goes home to tell his wife the great simcha, that she should also be a shutev in the simcha. You can be sure when he comes home, and he shows the wife the Esraig instead of simcha, so she said to him, and you can imagine, she opened her mouth and said, he says, weeks, months, years, I'm pleading to you to sell panosa, bread on the table, nothing, nothing, you're never selling the tefillin. Now for an Esraig, you went ahead and you sold those tefillin, and all of the bahula, what happened is the Esraig fell down the pit and broke. So Nechman Zolotshev does not say a word, and not even a simen of kas and hakpode is seen on his face. And he stands up and turns his face towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he says, Rabbeinu Shloim, he says, tefillin I no longer have. An esrik I no longer have. What the Yetzirah wants, I should also lose my sholem lais. I will not give it to him. And that was it. Did not say a word, did not show any anger. And he said that night when he went to sleep, his father comes to him in his dream, Reb Itzchok Drobitscher. His father says to him, this last hanhoge that you controlled, he says, your hakpode, in Shumai made a much bigger roshim than the Mesir Snefesh that you sold your tefillin for Mekayim Mitzvos Esrik. That was the greater. So you never know what a person does in controlling one's midos. Controlling, when you have the nesoyin and you have that test and you're able to overpower that, that may yield you tremendous schar that many, many mitzvahs sometimes will not be able to amount to that. That is what we learn, and that is something that Shaar HaTshuva tells us we should try to strive for. So.